All right, let's get to the manifestation of the Spirit. And we're looking at spiritual growth. The first service, we're looking at spiritual gifts. And in this second service, we're looking at spiritual growth. Romans chapter 15, quick one. We have some things to look at, so you are very close to your Bible. And you should be, definitely. And also to what you are studying with, your writing materials. In verse 4. So for whatever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that word there is doctrine, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures may have hope. Now I said in the first service, I said for a while, that it's not appropriate to read the Old Testament for prophecy. And some have assumed that the Old Testament is just a book of prophecy or promises. So they don't see it as the word of God. I mentioned in the first service, the Old Testament is God's word by itself. The Old Testament does not need the New Testament for validation. No, it doesn't. It stands on its own as doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul writing to Timothy, says all scripture, old or New Testament? Huh? There could have been New Testament anyway. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Paul theory for doctrine, reproof, correction, and spiritual growth. So is there spiritual growth in the Old Testament? Come on, talk to me. Yep. So it's profitable for spiritual growth. It stands on its own. And the lack of understanding of the Old Testament is why we reduce it to prophecies and promises. And I also say types and shadows. That's not appropriate because the apostles didn't use the Old Testament like that. Not at all. Praise the Lord. And I said to us, there are three things that we need to apply. When reading the Old Testament, I said that in the first service. I said, number one, understand that the Old Testament has a different culture than today's culture. Different culture, history, and grammar. So we might need to know what is being said. In the first service, I mentioned one. For example, where you say slave. Slave, in today's world, is someone that was kidnapped, like, people came to Africa and went through the Gold Coast and took people out and then they took them to farms, asked them to work in either the Caribbeans or the Americas and they kidnapped them against their own will and took them away. That's not the Bible meaning of slave. It's just unfortunate that the English versions use the word slave. The word is ebed, E-B-E-D in the Hebrew, and usually the phrase slave is what is called an indentured servant, which means somebody, a bond servant, somebody by the virtue of hoeing has to work for you or has an obligation. Now, it might be like today's employee, not in all cases. That's the word servant. And that is why when God intervened in Israel, he instructed that after seven years, that whoever was a slave or servant, his debts are canceled so he can go free. That is not a kidnapped person. And he gave different instructions, how you mustn't make your brother one of such, how you should forgive debts and all of that. So that's we must study the scriptures in its own world. I mentioned the use of words like, and the whole city was utterly destroyed. Man and women, children, animals. Now, when I use utterly destroyed today, though we still mean, when you say something like Brighton utterly destroyed Chelsea. But that's actually the truth. What you're basically saying is that they beat them well, a normal thing. Now, that's utterly destroyed in scripture. Now, why did you not include man, woman, child? It doesn't mean they killed them. It is just a cultural hyperbole to say we took over the territory. Because more often than not, almost all the time, you will still see that same city exist with a lot of people there. That's Bible language. So oftentimes people hardly interpret it properly. Whilst we seem to be uncomfortable with the Old Testament, The first century church were not. Because they were able to interpret it properly. So don't get scared reading the Old Testament. It just requires hard work to study it and know its meaning. After all, Jesus' Bible was the Old Testament. And it was the same books. You know, some people say, well, the Moses said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Moses said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Jesus said, forgive your enemies. I said, actually, it was Moses that said it. Jesus is only referencing Moses. He said, hey, yeah. The statements of Jesus on loving your enemies were taken from the law of Moses. Jesus is saying that you'll be like your heavenly Father who makes his sun to rise on the wicked and the just, his rain on the wicked. He's teaching from the very Old Testament. Because that's his Bible. He wasn't reading Paul's epistles. He's reading the Old Testament. That's why he told them in Luke 24 and verse 44, these are the words which I spake to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the epistles of Paul. Huh? The book of Ephesians? No. In the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened he their understanding, verse 45, Luke 24, that they might understand the scriptures. Reducing the Old Testament to prophecies, promises, types, and shadows is a serious abuse of the book. Romans 15:4 says, our doctrine is in the Old Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, it says, these things happened to them for examples, tupos, T-U-P-O-S in the Greek, and were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. As we said earlier, spiritual growth, the meal for spiritual growth is found in the Old Testament too. However, it must be rightly divided, like Paul instructed Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 15. So we're looking at the manifestation of the Spirit. And last week, we stopped at some point. I'm going to pick up there in a moment. Now, for example, in the first service, I spoke about the concept of heaven and earth. Now, in many of today's terminologies, heaven is outside the earth. But the Old Testament doesn't say that. The Old Testament said, when Moses went on the mountain to receive the oracles of God, called the law, he went to heaven. And on many instances, you will find the scriptures refer to people going to heaven and coming back, and they were not dead. In Matthew 17, I read that in the first service, when Jesus appearing with Elijah and Moses, right? And then he heard the voice. When Peter reported, that's Matthew 17. When Peter reported it in 2 Peter 1, from verse 16, 17, 18, he said, we heard the voice from heaven. Heaven wasn't that far. John the Baptist heard the voice from heaven. In John 12, people heard the voice from heaven. It wasn't because they had died. It was simply because there was a manifestation of God's Spirit, which is called heaven. Heaven in the Bible is not separated from the earth. It's only distinguished from the earth. God's creation is heaven and earth together. It's the same way you can't say, now, your heart, all right, and all your bones and all your organs form one body. But all your body is not your heart. But you cannot say, well, let me remove my heart from, I want to separate my heart from my stomach. Don't worry. That's life taken out there. That's separation of life from death. But you can distinguish it. The functions are different, but they're in the same place. Heaven and earth is in the same place, but heaven and earth is not the same. And that is why Jesus spoke of heaven much. He wasn't telling them to die to go there. In Matthew 16 and verse 16, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, 17, For flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Simon didn't die. I say unto you, thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give to you the keys of where? Heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. He wasn't talking about him dying. Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of every nation. Mark 16:19, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Verse 20 says, and they went forth and preached everywhere. Pay attention, the same Lord who went to heaven is now walking with them, confirming the word with signs. How come? Because the heaven is not a separation, it's only a distinction in their activities. So heaven is not outside. Heaven is inside, just not the earth, but it is interwoven with the earth. So heaven and earth is an overlapping function in many instances. And how that can be very clear to us is when we read the Old Testament properly. For example, in Ephesians chapter 1, when Paul talks about prayer, he's saying he prays for the church, that our eyes of understanding being enlightened, we may know what is the hope of his calling, Ephesians 1:18, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Then he said 19, what is the exceeding greatness, Ephesians 1, of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, watch this, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principalities, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. Then he says, now that's the point. Jesus is seated in heaven, so you look at where? That he has put all things under his feet, and gave him to the head over all things to his church, his body, the fullness of him that fitteth all in all. In the next chapter, he now says, God, who has quickened us together with Christ, raised us up, and he has made us to sit together with Christ in the heavenlies. And that's not because we are dead. That's because we are alive. Hallelujah. So heaven is a reality of the kingdom of God today. Is that very clear? And that's why when we read the Old Testament, we're able to interpret the concept of heaven properly. So we're looking at the manifestation of the Spirit. And I'm going to remind you again that the English Bibles, in their use of words, have seemingly scarred, how do I put it properly? They have made it a bit uncomfortable or unclear, the work of the Holy Spirit. And I said to us earlier that the work of the Holy Spirit didn't start when Jesus came. The work of the Holy Spirit is at the very beginning of your Bible. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void. Then it now tells you, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God. Now, let me help you in your understanding. I'm going to just use the Hebrew language, because those words are Hebrew. The English translations have used their own kind of interpretation. Now, that first word, the Spirit there, is wind or air. The wind or air. It's spelled R-U-A-C-H, ruach. So, stay close to that word. Stay very close to that word. Now, in Genesis 2:7, this is how the English Bible puts it. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, Genesis 2:7, and breathed into man's nostrils like resuscitation, the breath of life. Now, if I take that literally, I will mean that God put his nostrils in man's nostrils. And I go, you know, that's ridiculous. It's the same way in John 20:22, when it says, and Jesus spake to them and breathed on them. Sounds like he got at the 12 or maybe 120, and then he went from 1 to another. Obviously, it's what happened in John 20:22 that happened in Genesis 2:7. But in John 20:22, it had some more clarity. Receive ye what? The Holy Ghost. So that means the breathing John is referring to is the Holy Ghost. Now, is there anybody who received the Holy Ghost by someone's breath? No, the breathing there is just an Old Testament phrase for the active sense of the move of the Spirit. In Genesis chapter 3 and 8, you see it again that in verse 8, Genesis 3, quickly go there, it says, and the voice of the Lord God was walking, that's in the Garden of Eden, in the cool of the day. It sounds like God is taking fresh air. So he takes a stroll. You know. Oh, shit, I've been tired, been a while, you know. But the word cool there actually means wind, air, or better still. Oh, come on, guys are not in church this morning. Wind, air, or better still what? So, how is God walking in the garden? By his Spirit. Is it making sense now? So, in Genesis, I'm going to skip one, Genesis 6:3. I'm going to Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. But before then, notice we read one last week. Exodus 14, that's verse 21. When it says, and the east wind, when Moses stretched forth his rod over the Red Sea, and the east wind from God split the sea, is actually the word east. Now, Bible geography, east means above. Prosperity doesn't come from the south, it comes from the it's from above. So he says, a wind from outside. That's the same word Jesus said when he said, except a man is born again from above, anything. So the east wind is the Spirit of God came. The psalmist said, by the breath of his nostrils. That's the Spirit of God. In Ezekiel 37, here we find the Lord said to the prophet Ezekiel, he took him to the valley of dry bones. Son of man, can these dry bones live? A dear friend of mine said, God asked you a question, throw it back to him. He said, thou knowest. That's smart. And God said, okay, you know what you're going to do? Prophesy upon these dry bones. And I will cause my breath to enter. Is that my spirit? Come on. Then in verse 9, he says, now you prophesy. And the wind will come from the four corners of the earth. And it will breathe upon this. That's the work of the Spirit. So if you look at Genesis chapter 8:21, so there's so much by the Spirit in the Old Testament is the English translations that have not let us see. Who's following what I'm saying here now? Come on. Come on, let me see your hand. You get it? Okay, good. So in Genesis 8:21, I mentioned a bit of that in the first service. In Genesis 6:3, quick one, it says, my spirit shall no longer strive with man. Another word that we shouldn't use is the word dwell with man. Okay? For he is flesh. He is always flesh. His days shall be 120. Now that is not telling you the number of years man will live. It simply meant that there were going to be 120 years where God will suffer long. 120 years. So between that period and when the ark was built and Noah entered his family, it was 120 years. Not the number of years man will live. People lived more than 120 after that. That's not the age of man. So God said, look, I'm going to have to destroy this earth. Why? Because man's ways are evil. My spirit shall dwell with man. Now, this is why I've always said, you must read the Bible as a whole book. Now, afterwards, he found Noah in Genesis 6. And verse 8 and 9. Noah simply means rest or comfort. So which means that Noah becomes a relief from the trouble. He found Noah, and Noah with his family entered the ark. Which means already that Genesis 6 verse 5 through to 12, we're going to see shortly, had now been changed. Listen carefully. So what does he do? He now, I can forward a little bit to Genesis 9, where he now makes a covenant and he says, this earth will not be destroyed again. It will keep having contradictions, but I'm going to steady the sheep. Is that very clear? We call that the rainbow. But before then, in Genesis 8 and 20, 19 and 20, Noah had offered an altar, a sacrifice. Noah is not stable. Noah is not perfect. He found grace, Genesis 6, 8. And then scriptures tell us that in verse 21, the Lord smelled. So Noah offers a sacrifice. And then the Lord comes like this. Let's see how it goes. Look at me. The Lord comes like this. Noah just made Nigerian jollof. And God goes, ah, this looks good. And they say, oh, I will no longer destroy man. This food is too good to miss. That doesn't sound intelligent, right? Now, so let's go back to Genesis 2:7. When it says the Lord breathed into man's nostrils, he's referring to the Holy Spirit. So the use of God's nostrils is figurative of the work of the Spirit. Who's following this now? Are you going to see your hand? Yeah, you get, are you here? So Genesis 8:21, it says the Lord smelled a sweet savour. Now the word sweet savour are two Hebrew words, right? One is called reach nochach, N-I-C-H-O-A-C-H, two words together. It simply means a proper place of rest. A proper place of rest. So let's put it together. Wind, is that the Spirit? Proper place of rest. Which means the Spirit of God found a, in spite of man's instability. Are you here? Right, that's what it means. Not that God smelled and said, ah, come on, I like this suya, man. He's very good. Skillishy. That's what's going on here. He's saying the Spirit of God will work with man in spite of his instability. Which means we're going to find throughout the Bible a conflict of the flesh and the Spirit. Is that very clear? Now, it could have been, let's just destroy the flesh, all right? And let's just have nobody. If you are going to destroy the flesh, there will be no human being left. Because we all have a propensity to be in the flesh. Is that very clear? So God now says, you know what? I'm just going to allow this and seed time and harvest will not cease day and night. I'm just going to have contrasting things. And so seed time and harvest, that's some quick Bible study, right? Huh? I ran through a whole sermon very quickly. You got it, right? Genesis chapter 8. Quick one. Bless you. So, Genesis chapter 6. Amen. Amen, amen. All right. My spirit shall not side with man, for that he is what? Is what? So the opposite of flesh is what? And spirit is what? So God says, I'm going to deal with the flesh once and for all. Okay, see, look at verse 5. Let's go, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. So flesh also represents what? Hey, talk to me. Wickedness, right? And let's go again. And every imagination. So flesh is not your physical body, oh. That's how I want. Now, there are places, flesh in the physical body, but this is not talking about physical body. That's how one guy, he said he was getting physically aroused towards women somewhere, I don't want to mention the state. And he said, if your right hand makes you to sin, cut it off. So he took a knife and cut off his genital. That's bad. Bad doctrine is very bad. Now, how does that make him less tempted? It's the imagination and thoughts of the heart. So flesh refers to imagination and thoughts of where? The heart. It's not your hand that is the flesh. It's not your eyes. That's why they start using glasses. You are still seeing terrible things. In fact, the glasses will make it very sharp and seeable. Even if you wear dark shade, you still see it. Amen. You said amen. Can you imagine? You actually said amen. Now look at verse 11, quick one. It says, the earth was what? Corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Not violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was what? Corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. Look at 13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with my glory. No. With violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So, is the issue physical body? No. Now, notice in Genesis 1:28, He wanted the earth to be filled with his glory, but the earth is filled with something else. So the earth, the flesh here, is not physical body. No, it's not. In Genesis chapter 9, the physical body is not evil. Is that clear? There's a doctrine that goes on. The physical body is not evil. If the physical body was evil, then God will not transform our physical bodies. And Jesus will not be raised from the dead physically. And God won't become flesh. John 1:14. The physical body is not the problem. The physical body has no life of his own. I like what a friend of mine, how he defines the flesh. No, the spirit. He gave the best definition of spirit I've ever heard in my life. It was in 1994. Because we're doing a study then on spirit, soul, and body. So we define the body. We define the soul then. I've seen that definition now. That structure. Then he said, what is the spirit? How do we define the spirit? Then he said, from that which issues forth an emitting force. That it is the spirit that animates the physical body. If it's out of the body becomes ineffective. It's not destroyed, it's just ineffective. The body is only effective because the spirit is there. Now, can you separate spirit and body? The spirit can function without the body, and the body can function without the spirit. They can only be distinguished. They cannot be taken away. When they're separated, it's called death. So, that's a good definition. So, you have flesh. Now, to know the flesh is not evil, Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Genesis chapter 9. Whosoever sheds man's blood. Where do you get man's blood from? From his spirit? Huh? That the body. So man's blood is actually the physical body, right? Alright, it says, shed man's blood, shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made him. So does the image of God include our physical body? Good. So the physical body is not the flesh. Is that okay? The flesh refers to what? Talk to me, church. Huh? Imagination? Uh-huh. Thought pattern, what else? What else? Ideas, philosophies. Okay, that is why we will now define the flesh as what can influence. You know, everything on your mind today came from somewhere. You know, we know that? Huh? Everything on your mind right now came from somewhere. Imagination is a picture or words that were transmitted to your mind. So, the flesh is not your physical body. The flesh is not your physical body. The flesh is not your physical body. Your physical body is not evil. Is that very clear? Your physical body is not evil, and it matters to God. Is that clear? Good. So your physical body is not the flesh. The flesh refers to thoughts and imaginations, ideas. That's the flesh. So, what was going on in Genesis 6? People were being influenced. What feels there? Is the word male, M-A-L-E. It simply means people were being influenced. It's called influence. Man is a product of what? Influence. We are all, there's nobody that is original. You are influenced. And a number one access of influence is your attention. Anything that gets your attention will influence you. So it's not about you going to a place. You don't have to go to a place to be influenced. All you need to do is an information. So the flesh walks with information. The flesh walks with attention. So this is the genesis of flesh and spirit. Is that very clear? Day and night? Abi? Come on. Times and seasons, right? Day and night. What else? Winter and summer. Uh-huh. Seed time and harvest. That's contrasting things. So from Genesis 8:21, the spirit and the flesh will be in conflict. The spirit is God's influence, right? Come on. And the flesh is man's influence. So when Paul says the spirit is against the flesh and the flesh is against the spirit, Paul is reading from Genesis 6 through to 8. So the flesh is not your physical body. Don't focus on the wrong thing. The flesh are the imagination and thoughts of the heart. So a fellow can wear no earrings, wear beret, ain't no wear no makeup, and is a gossip, is a liar. That does nothing. That you don't wear a ring and you cover your head makes nothing. That you don't cover it doesn't mean nothing. It doesn't, that's not, that has nothing to do with holiness. It could express holiness in the way, though let me say that in extreme, but that's not what it is. It's your mind, your thoughts, what influences you. Praise the Lord. Are you there? So religion, false religion, focuses on the outward, wrongly so, thinking that's the flesh. But true religion in Christ focuses on your heart. What are you thinking? What is on your mind? What is your imagination? What are the thoughts on your mind? So what's going on in Genesis 6 is the thoughts of people militated against God's word. That's what Paul meant in 2 Corinthians 10:3. He said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, 2 Corinthians 10:3. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds. What are strongholds? He says, imaginations, thoughts, knowledge. So you get the flesh from influence. Is that very clear? So flesh is by what? Influence. Influence that affects your thoughts and imagination. Another way you can call the flesh is the world. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Romans 12:1 first of all. Look at Galatians 6. Learning something here? You learning something here? Come on, Romans 12:2. I'll start from one. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. This is one of those texts that English translations haven't helped us. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What does that even mean? You present your bodies a living sacrifice. It is wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable worship. How do you even do that? And he uses two critical words here, zaotusian, Z-A-O and T-H-U-S-I-A-N, which means a lively offering before God. So, present your bodies. How do I do that? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable worship, treskia, T-H-R-E-S-K-I-A, temple worship. And for many times, people look at this and say, what does it mean? Present your body. Your body. How do you present your body? A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. How? Next verse says, do not be conformed to this world, verse 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So, which means, what he's referring to in verse 1 deals with where? Your mind. Now, what does it mean by present your body? Now, I totally disagree with King James. The word body is a Greek word soma, S-O-M-A. It means to put things together or a union. Now, why is Paul saying this? Now, the letter to the Roman church or the church in Rome was very unique, just like the letter to Galatians. He was referring to the Jews and the Gentiles who were having conflict in the church. So Paul was dealing with that conflict. So what he first does, he first lets the Jew come down from his high horse. Then he traces the history of Abraham back to Adam. So hey, you proud Jew, come off your high horse. Abraham was a Gentile when God justified him. Everybody go, woo! That's backhand. Paul is done with that. So he tells the Jews, hey, it's not all Israel that's Israel. Come off it. Salvation is by faith in Christ Jesus. Not the flesh, but those who believe. So as he's saying that, the Gentiles are going, go Paul. Oh, yeah, we told you, tell them. Hey, Gentiles, hold on. If salvation came to you by the blindness of Israel, and those who were the first seed were taken away, you better be one. You two can be yanked off. They go. It's God that has mercy over everybody. No one should be proud in. My own translation. So he said, now, talking to Jews and Gentiles, I beseech you, brethren, Jews and Gentiles, right? By the mercies of God, that you present your, help me out, your what? You don't know who? Jews and Gentiles, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Put down your culture, come on, put down your beliefs, and present this union as your worship of God. So you need to not be conformed to this world, culture, philosophy, but be transformed by the renewing. Does it make sense? Huh? Not your physical body, the union of Jews and Gentiles. That's why you have body of Christ. Body of Christ means what? Come on! Union in Christ Jesus. So verse 4 of Romans 12, it says, for as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. Look at 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Is it making sense there now? So he's not talking about physical body. He's talking about our spiritual union in Christ. In fact, in chapter 6, verse 6, he had used the same word for sin, our union with sin that has been destroyed by the sacrifice of Jesus. But now look at what we're focusing on now. It says, present your body a living sacrifice. Then it says in 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So where does the world target? My mind. My thinking. No, who's the Greek? My thought pattern, my belief system, my imagination. Galatians chapter 6. Are you learning something? Are you learning something, guys? Galatians chapter 6. Watch this one. This is Paul in verse 14. Let's go together. Galatians 6, 14. Let's go. But God forbid. Let's go. Galatians 6, 14. Let's go. But God forbid. Okay, I'm waiting for you. Are you ready now? Let's go. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus. Huh? By whom the world is crucified unto me. Uh-huh. So now, this is what is called the flesh. The world. In Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Christ lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Galatians 6, he says, I've been crucified with the world. In verse 14, in Galatians 5 and 24, we're going to look at that shortly. He says, and they that are Christ have what? With their affections and what? Now, what does he call, what did he say it was crucified in chapter 6? The world. Are you here? So the world and the flesh are synonymous terms. Now, the word world doesn't mean your house, your car, the road. No, no, no. World is aion. A-I-N-O-N. It means activities. Activities, belief systems. When it says you are not of this world, don't go and kill yourself. You are not of the system of this world. The system. Is that very clear? This world is not my home. I am the... The word maybe Jim Reeves was referring to is the one ruled by the ideas and thoughts of the devil. Amen. But as touching the earth is your home forever. Amen. Not the world, but the earth. Okay, so we get that clear, that the flesh and the spirit, right, will refer to the different shades of the earth. God's spirit is ruling. Do we also have the enemy ruling? Oh, okay, let me say, the enemy acting. Huh? Day and night? Come on. So that is the meaning of spirit and the flesh. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, like I mentioned, the English versions haven't helped us in many regard. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 11, now, the root of this was that some brethren, like we call them now, they had conflict with one another. So they now took one another before the non-believers. Come and help us. Say, this is my brother in Christ. Something happened in our fellowship. Please come and intervene. Alajitai. You do that. The Lord. And Paul is saying, what's going on? In fact, in verse 1, dear any of you, what is happening to you? You have any matter, go to the Lord before the unjust and not before the saints. Do you not know that the saints shall judge where? The world. And if the world will be judged by you, how are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. In verse 5, I speak this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. Brother goes to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Where therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to the law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not suffer wrong yourselves to be defrauded? Now you do wrong and defraud, and that's your brethren. Know ye not. Now look at the concept here. People have used verse 9 to disqualify people from going to heaven. Look at the context. He's saying to you, why are you going before the unjust? Why are you going before those who have not received Christ? Don't you know that when we receive Christ, in 1 Corinthians 2:15, he says the spiritual man judges all things. We have the mind of Christ. By going to the unbeliever world, you are saying that the mind of Christ is of less supremacy. That's what Paul is saying here. Don't forget, this is the same church, he called them carnal and spiritual babes. They were walking like unbelievers. They were walking like the Exodus nation. But does that change their status? Huh? No. In fact, in this same chapter, if you go to chapter 7, he also had to caution some who were having sexual immorality. But that didn't change their status. He therefore rebuked the sexual immorality, called it what it was, saying, hold them to flee from it and glorify God. Condemn them, ask them to cry if they are truly born again. But watch what he didn't say. He never changed their status. So look at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, voila. The first voila is that kingdom of God to us today is the end point of your salvation. So what is, if, don't you know the unrighteous cannot inherit the kingdom of God, which means the unrighteous cannot get to heaven. Where is that there? Now, let's assume that we go to the Greek now and look at the word kingdom. Kingdom means basileia, rule and authority. Rule, authority, dominion. Will it include judgment? Huh? Come on, judgment? Deciding matters? Huh? Resolving conflicts? Come on. So, the unrighteous cannot be, now the word inherit, quick one. Don't let me go too fast. The word inherit means to be part of something. Kleronomia. Kleronomeo. To be part of something. Is that clear? Is that okay? So let's do some translation here. So if we say kingdom means what? Rule, authority, deciding. Huh? Come on, talk to me. Did this say it's coming to church? Are you sure? Huh? Deciding matters, resolving conflicts. Now, in the context of what is going on in 1 Corinthians 6, what would that kingdom represent? Resolving. Uh-huh. Come on. So now let's look at it. Know ye not that the unrighteous is not a part of how God resolves conflicts. Does it make sense? Are you here? The unrighteous is not a part of it. Okay? So God doesn't use the unrighteous to judge his children. Is that what he's saying? Come on, are you here? He says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves of mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, rebellious, nor extortioners shall be what? Hey, yeah. Shall be what? Shall be a part of what? Shall not make heaven. Shall be a part of God's rule, judgment, resolving. Okay. Are you here? Look at verse 11. And such were some of you. Now, if what he was saying was those who were effeminate, those who were revilers, will not be in heaven, will not be in the kingdom of heaven, the next statement contradicts it. Such were some of you. The word some there is not quantity. Such were some of you. Praise God. That means you were also unrighteous. But look at the next one. Let's go together. But you are what? Woo! Glory to God. Anyone like that? Anyone like that? Come on. Let me see your hand. Anyone like that? You are what? Now what about reading that for us? I am washed.
I am washed.
What else? Come on, let's take it again. I am what?
I am washed.
What else?
I am washed.
What else?
I am washed.
How are you justified? How are you justified? And how? By the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. So are you part of God's kingdom?
Yes, sir.
Are you part of God's resolving issues?
Yes, sir.
He said even the least esteemed in the church, the baby Christian can handle this. Hallelujah. Paul is not talking about dying and going to heaven. That's totally, totally wrong reading of the Bible. You don't have a part in this. Glory to God. Saying to you, the unbeliever is not God's tool of judgment for his church. Some people talk and say, God is judging the church. With who? You know, God is judging the church. And they're always saying when you watch CNN or BBC. So your own revelation knowledge comes from media. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul basically is saying is not a part of. Let me quickly go through that. The word inherit there means not to be a part of. So you see, something else he says later. 1 Corinthians 15. Learning something? The same word. Verse 50. Let's go. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Or corruption inherit incorruption. Now, he's talking about the physical body, right? So he's saying in God's rule and reign, this flesh and blood, immortality, will have to take over. Shall not be part of. Shall not be a part of. So don't see the word inherit like when people die and go to heaven. That's bad reading. Shall not be a part of the kingdom of God. So let's go to Galatians chapter 5. So if God wants to pass judgment, he does it by his spirit. Is that it? Come on. And why are we qualified? Because we have his spirit. The non-believer, can he pass across God's judgment? No, because he doesn't have God's spirit. People have read going to heaven to that text. Oh, come on, those are so poor. Galatians chapter 5. Are you in church? This one is another one that is quite interesting. We have these things in our books already. I've taught you this before. But just good to go over it for those who were not here then or who were not stable. How about that for the flesh? Now look at this one now. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. But let's start from verse 16. But I say they walk in the spirit that you don't fulfill the lust of your body. Is that what he's saying? Lust of the world, right? The lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit. Genesis 6. Huh? Genesis 8. Good. And the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. Genesis 8. Come on. Day and night. See, come on. Are you in church? Okay, good. Look at this. And you cannot do the things that you would. Look at verse 18. But if you be led of the spirit, you are not under the law. Now look at 19. The works of the flesh are visible. Which means you can see them around you. That's the world, right? Come on. They are visible. It didn't say they are in your body. They are manifest. What are they? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, rebellions, and such like. Entire Paul. You could look and say it's as such like that you can fill up the list. I'm sure in 2024, this list will have doubled. As such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul is saying, the moment, now, I know the first two are the ones that will get your attention. Nope. It says wrath, getting angry. You get angry, you miss heaven. Chelsea fans are off. They break bottle every time they lose. They're going to lose today again. Envies. They envy me. That's why they're looking at me. Well, okay. See what I'm saying? Missing heaven. Okay? Strife. So, anytime you strive with someone, I won't take it. This year, no grief for anybody. Paul is saying you will not get to heaven. Paul. You are not making it. Hey! Anyone who does something, the way you do it, you are gone. Amen. You are all quiet. What am I about to say next? I'm not saying anything. It's true. It's true. Every strife. Hell. Anger. Yeah. Rebellions. Hell. Ha. Lasciviousness. That includes overeating. No, I'm not joking. Ah. So you are going to hell, oh? He said, and such like. We can even have to eat. Hallelujah. Even the heresies. Including those who twist this scripture. Everybody's inside. Now, look at what he says in the next verse. We'll come to it shortly. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Praise God. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against that, there's no law. Let's say 24 together. And they that are Christ. Anyone like that? Have what? He just says, should crucify the flesh. Glory to God. Blessed be God. I've crucified the flesh. So the flesh is crucified. That's not your physical body. Don't go and crucify your body. That's the world, right? Amen. We're dead to the world. In the name of Jesus. So crucify the flesh. With the flesh, with the affections and what? Loss. Look at verse 25. If we live in the spirit, that means we what? We live. Right now, where are we? We live. We are alive. You know how they say, oh, now we're alive. Sometimes when we're trying to broadcast one of our meetings, and they tell us, Pastor, we are now live. That means now we're on. So what it says, if you live in the spirit, we are alive in the spirit. Hallelujah. The word Zaho, we exist in the spirit. Because we are born of the spirit. So now let us what? That means you can live in the spirit and not what? Walk. You can be born of the spirit and not what? Who's following what I'm saying here now? Since we live in the spirit, let us walk in the spirit. But what then did he mean in verse 21? They that do such things, again, the English Bible robs us of what Paul is saying. Paul is not mentioning people. He's mentioning the works of the flesh. So, situate the context. Don't forget the kingdom of God is repeated there again, right? What's the kingdom of God again? His rule, his reign, right? What about conflicts? Now, let's go back to the context of what he was talking about so you get it now. Galatians 5. Are you learning something here? Watch this. Verse 13. Let's go. For brethren, always, see, avoid jumping from one verse to another. Read everything he's talking about, okay? Look at 13. Let's go again. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to serve the flesh, but by love. So is it dealing with relationships? Come on. By love do what? Serve one another. Look at the next verse. Let's go. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Huh? So what is he talking about? Love. Come on. Are you here? Aha. Is it love for God or love for others? Okay. So next one. Let's go. But if you what? Oh, come on, John. Read this one. Come on. If you what? Take heed. So what is the context of this discussion? Human relationships. Does it also include resolving conflicts? Issues? Are you learning this? So it says, in your relationships, walk in the... And you will not fulfill the lust of... Which includes what? Imaginations? Thoughts? Uh-huh. Alright, good. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another. Remember I read in Genesis chapter 6 that the flesh produced violence. Right? Which destroyed humanity. It corrupted the ways of man. If you are led of the spirit, you are not under the law. So before we go back to 21, look at verse 25 again. If we live in the spirit, let us what? Can we say, walk in the spirit towards one another? Does that work? Come on, talk to me. Does it work? Now look at verse 26. Let us not what? Provoking one another, envying. Can you see the context? Human relationships. Look at Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, let ye which are spiritual restore such one in the spirit of what? Meekness. Considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Look at verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. So is Paul's context clear to you? Is he talking about making heaven? No. So people are not doing right because it's right. They're doing right because they want to earn heaven. That's hypocrisy. That means you are not convinced it's what is right. You're only doing it so that you not go to hellfire. By the way, if you're born again, you can't go to hell. It's not possible. I've stopped arguing about this. It doesn't make sense. Because those who argue it are already saved. No, I don't burn my... You're already saved. Why am I absolving myself? There's nothing you can do about it. You're saved. The one who saved you forever. Saved you to himself. Praise God. Forever. He doesn't ask you to keep it. He kept it for himself. He gave you eternal life. He gave you his spirit forever. He gave you the guarantee of his spirit. Are you clear? So that's not an issue. Amen. Watch what I'm about to say here. Look at verse 21. They that do such things. Now watch this. They that do such things. Who are the they? Now in the Greek, the word here is oitatoiata. Well, that's the Greek. That's how Paul wrote it. He didn't write it in English. That's why the English guys got him wrong. He said, oi ta toi ata prasontes, which means that which does such things. Does that change it? Huh? That which does such things. What is that that does such things? The flesh. He wasn't referring to persons. That which does such things, let's go, shall not be what? A part of God's influence. How about that? Judgment, rule, human relationship. Come on, are you here? So, does God use the flesh in human relationships? No, he doesn't. He uses his spirit. Paul isn't talking about going to heaven. He's resolving human relationships. He's talking about how we ought to treat one another. And he says, hey, that which does such things is not in God's influence. If you find yourself in fornication, adultery, reveling, you say, that is not God's influence. That means, can a believer be born again and his actions are out of the kingdom of God? Huh? Yeah, this is not the kingdom of God. If you do this, this is not the kingdom of God. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is not saying you're not going to heaven. Please take that out of your theology. Praise the Lord. Learning something here? It's not part of it. It doesn't have a part in it. So that means if you look into the kingdom of God, you will not see adultery in it. You won't see fornication in it. You won't see lying in it. You won't see they are not part of God's kingdom. So if you will walk in the spirit, you are walking in God's kingdom. Let me see how if you understand that. Is it making sense right now? So works, good works are not to qualify you to go to heaven. That's nonsense. It's so silly. So the word inherit means to be a part of. Matthew 5:5. It says, the meek shall inherit the earth. What is it saying? You will be part of it. Is that not it? Be part of it. Matthew 19:29, Matthew 25:34. The word be a part of. It doesn't mean to take something. So we think inherit means you take the kingdom of God. No, it means to be part of it. To be part of something God is already doing. The word inherit means something is already happening, then you are brought to be part of it. Galatians chapter 4. Who's learning something here? Who's learning something here? Come on. Oh, good. Galatians chapter 4. Because we need to clear this first. So when we talk about spiritual growth, you will know it's not to earn you something after this life. No. Galatians 4:30. Are you in church? Yeah. Now look at this one. What inherit here is used here by Paul. He says, nevertheless, what saith the scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not, what, clerinomia here, heir with the son of the free woman, shall not be part of with the son of the free woman. So the word inherit doesn't mean to get something, it means to be a part of it. So, the works of the flesh are not part of God's rule and reign. Anything that is contrary to the love of God is not in God's kingdom. So, which means that if I see a brother who is walking in the flesh, I say, this is not part of God's kingdom. You cannot call this God's spirit. This is not God's spirit. This is the flesh. Are you in church? So, holiness is not to qualify to heaven. No. People preached that before. You be without, the Bible says, without holiness, no man can see the Lord. So is the Lord hiding in heaven? Without holiness, no man can see the Lord. No man can see the Lord. And I told someone, was it late 1994? He used to preach that a lot. So he said, the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I said, it's not in the Bible. Say, is not in your Bible. Without holiness, no man can see the Lord. That's not what the Bible says. So I said, let's read it together. Hebrews chapter 12. Holiness is not to qualify for a reward after life, or let's say when you die. Hebrews 12. And let's start from verse 10. In fact, I would like to start from verse 5. Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint where you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he what? And scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. But what son is he whom the Father chastises not? If you be without chastisement, whereof are you partakers? Then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be what? Part of his holiness. Part of his holiness. Watch this now, so you don't miss it. 11. For no chastening for the present moment seems joyous, but grievous nevertheless afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are thereby exercised. Which means that God will correct us sometimes and we will cry. Is that clear? You will grieve. Don't say, anytime God speaks, I'm always laughing. You are walking in cartoon. Look at verse 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So watch this one now. It says, you watch your steps so that the man who is lame doesn't turn back. Rather, he is healed. This is a figure of speech. Watch what you do because it will affect others. Is that what he's saying? Come on, are you here? Are you following this? It will affect Look at 14. Follow! Hey! Follow! And without which? Heaven? No. So if I don't follow peace with man, that's not holiness. Holiness here is in our relationship. Without peace with all men, which is his holiness, no one will see the Lord. Is it in heaven or in your life? Let me see how you're following this now. Without that holiness, no one will see the Lord. He's not talking about making heaven at all. Looking diligently. Look at the next verse. Lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up troubles you, and thereby what? Many member defiled. So is it holiness that gets to heaven or that affects people? That's what he's talking about. Follow peace with all men. The Greek word there means to pursue it. Let it be your ambition. When you see a Christian always fighting, you're always fighting. Always fighting. There's somebody in your life you are fighting. You're always fighting people. You're always, somebody has done something you don't like. Check your life. You are not living a life of holiness. You're not even meant to fight Muslims. I told you before, Muslims are not your competition. For idol worshippers, follow peace of all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Look at Matthew 5. Are you in church? You learning something? Whilst many are working well, they're living right to get to heaven. God is saying, hello, it's not for here, it's for the earth. Don't treat people right because you want to get to heaven. Treat people right because you treat them right. Treating people right because you want to get to heaven is hypocrisy. Is that okay? The only reason why I forgive you, hey, fire is too hot. You are yet to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, you say, I forgive you because I was forgiven. I'm not any better than you. That is God's Spirit. If not, I don't want to have 666. You! I will have destroyed you. But I just looked at it. The Antichrist 666. Let me just get to heaven first. I will come back and do it. You think God is fooled? No, he's not fooled. He knows what is on your heart. Because when your actions are contrary to your heart, you are a hypocrite. That's why you have to renew your mind. Is that okay? Matthew 5. Who's learning something here? Matthew 5. Yep. Now look at this one. Verse 14. Let's take it together. You are the light of the world. Let's go. Come on. Till verse 16. Let's go. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it on a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what? Is that holiness? Is that walking in the Spirit? That's it. Without holiness, no one shall see who? The Lord. So without good works, they won't see the Lord. Pursuing peace with all men. Good works is not shouting at your door every day, praying in tongues very loud. You know, there are some brethren like that. I was their pastor. I'm still the pastor of some of them. I don't want to give you much information. So they will be praying. And they will disturb their neighbors. They will shout. So as the neighbors are saying, please, they will now increase the volume. Oh! Now, I've done that before, so let me confess my own sins first. 1995 or so, or 4, we took a hotel, Oriwu Hotel. I brought my friends to preach. So we'll have Holy Ghost meetings. We took the suits then, and then we'll make noise. And someone came, the hotel man, I think the receptionist said, Assas, you are disturbing us. I said, we paid for our character too. Nonsense. And he went, hey. I said, look, if you come back here, I'll move the power of God on you. Of course, he ran away. Because that was the flesh, really. So when I saw these brethren, they were shouting, yeah, so the neighbors came. And then they said, what? It's demons that is troubling you. You're uncomfortable, eh? So when I came, they now told me. They said, Brother, you know, we showed them pepper. So what did you do? I remembered my own too, right? He said, we prayed. If you see, I said, I marched them to every house to apologize. But yeah, go and apologize. Yeah, that was not of God. Go and apologize. Praise the Lord. Go and apologize. Imagine if you're a believer too, you are praying in the morning, you want to sleep. Someone now puts you on vigil by force. After praying, I shout everybody, hey, you, the funny thing, you're not playing Living Word Media loud. Then you hear my voice. Then you still gossip. Amen. Pay never be, you won't pay. Loma, you won't pay. But you are preaching. Treat people well, you won't. You will clean the front of your own house alone. Say, ah, sir. Bless you. Robo, robo, robo. Without holiness, no one can see the Lord. Imagine you're a believer. Then you are your neighbors, you are not talking. They're Muslims. You don't greet one another. Say, because light and darkness will not meet. You are the darkness here. So the fruit of the Spirit is for our relationships. Is that okay? It is not to go to heaven. Did you hear me? Holiness is not to leave this earth and then get somewhere. No. Holiness for human conduct. Praise the Lord. See, I don't walk in the flesh. I'm born of the Spirit of God. We are washed. Praise God. So the manifestation of the Spirit is the visible work of the Spirit. Let your light so shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. That's why Peter said, if you are suffering because of evil deeds, because you are busybody, you're a gossip. So it's not for Christ too. You're suffering for your own troubles. How would you call you a gossip? Or they know you for womanizing in your office block. Ah, that guy. He will carry Bible on his head, but or they will send you something at the office. They will audit it 5 times. Check that guy well. No. Just carry his Bible. His life is like the book of Numbers. Check it. The writer of Hebrews says, you are causing many to fall. Is that okay? So by not growing up spiritually, we are affecting others. What we do matters. Is that clear? Do you hear that? Our conduct matters. I've told you there's nothing called a personal relationship with God. It also affects others. God saved you into a community. And your relationship with God is meant to be a vehicle he uses to reach others. Is that okay? Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin will tell us that the guide of every conduct is the love of God. Will the love of God do this? That's why the fruit of the Spirit is love. The other things you read are the manifestation of love. Would the love of God do this? Will the love of God cheat? Will the love of God be disloyal, unfaithful? Will the love of God lie? Will the love of God be wicked unto others? Will the love of God be selfish? It's about me. No, because for God so loved the world that he took, not that he gave. So I walk in the Spirit. So if all your Christian walk is in the service, you're bringing shame to his name. Your Christian walk should be out there. Is that clear? Out there. Though sometimes someone stole something from the church. Then the church was in the bathroom some 26 years ago. And the person went around, was in the University of Ibadan. That this fellow, she takes things from the church, keeps. And then she just shouting, anybody who took this will not see tomorrow. Ah! It was a tape player. Tomorrow, tape player. How much is tape player for the whole of tomorrow to go? Will not see tomorrow. The person will die tonight. So I walked in and I saw the air was scattered. Assuming the person's name is Shegu, a lady. So I saw her, I said, please, where is Shegu? She said, I'm sorry, sir. I said, go and bring you This is not you. This one is not born again. He said, what's the problem? He said, it's too. But then, you know, that's the flesh. You know, that's already the flesh. Uncontrolled. I told you. So brother and sister, what happened? I don't want to be angry, sir. Cannot be eek. Say, I'm not of the world. So before we do things, what would the love of God do? Hallelujah. Did you hear that? What would the love of God do? The flesh is not your body. The flesh is your thoughts, your imaginations. Don't forget I said, the flesh acts upon your focus. You know, if you watch things on, and that's why some of us who, we like to watch movies a lot. I'm not against watching movies. I do promote movies. I do. I'm getting stronger in the entertainment world. I've told you. And I'm soon going to promote music. Not Jesus is Lord. You know, but Jesus will be Lord inside. But you see, you need to know that the world has two forces. Light and darkness. There's no neutral ground. Is that clear? None. God's method are men. The devil's methods also are who? Men. Can the devil use a believer? Oh yes. The Bible says give no place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. That means you can give a place to the devil. So, you and I need to feed on the word of God long enough so that we will understand our identity. A good number of believers have identity crisis. By the time you feed on movies and you watch it a lot, you movies, music, you know, you hang around with friends who are, so some of us are not taking the sacrifice to grow spiritually. I'm going to talk about the other time, next time, that we need to know that spiritual growth requires sacrifice. That's why, look at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. Paul says, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I spoke like a child. I understood like a child. Look at it, 1 Corinthians 13, 11. When I became a man, what did I do? I put away childish things. You have to do it. On Wednesday, I told you about someone, an article a brother wrote, and he said that you see, you are in a church where the word of God is taught like this every day, from the study group, to the website, to all, to our Facebook, you have fed the word. How come I'm not growing? Watch the other things in your life. In the parable of the sower, Jesus gave four scenarios. He said the first one, he heard the word and it fell by the wayside. That one did not understand it. Was sleeping in the service. Was in a hurry to leave the service, so couldn't have understood. He said Satan came immediately and took that one away. So the fellow would not act as though he was in the service at all. So the second soil is on the hard ground. Hey, hallelujah, glory, woo, tell them, preach it, hey. He says, the moment affliction and persecution for the word come, he's offended. After all, I prayed, I didn't get the answer. After all, I knew he's already offended. He's not going to express it to God directly. It should be to the pastor. Just like Israel murmured at Moses. They didn't say God. They said, Moses, did you bring us here to be destroyed? They didn't, it was God that brought them. They could not mention God's name. So, the third soil, that's where I'm going. He said, those ones the word entered, but it was choked. Why? Because they were thorns and thistles. And Jesus called it lust of the world, cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, entered in and choked the word. So you see, you have so much materials, you read the books, you do this one, you have the teachings. Some people think their problem sometimes is getting more information. I remember years back when I was diagnosed with a terminal case, and it was almost fair on my mind because as the doctor said, I wasn't expecting that. He said it. And then, I just remembered Something the Lord told me earlier. You don't start preparing for war when it's war. You should have prepared ahead of time. Someone shared a story yesterday. I was at the meeting. That I said I was going to say it in the service today. And he said that when he was very young, there was no electricity then. The man is very old, probably in his 80s. And he said that there was no electricity in their village. Then he had a grandmother who would always put on the lantern about 4 o'clock. So he said, why do you always put on the lantern by 4? It's not yet dark. He said, if I wait till it's dark, I'll be looking for the lantern. But if I put it on, there will be no darkness at all. Learn to prepare before anything happens. That blessed me. So the believer is not there. You start looking for scripture. That's why some people move from pastor to pastor, because they were never prepared. They never took time. I told you, when it comes to spiritual growth, it is not width. It is what?
Depth.
Come on, it's not width. It's what? It's depth. It's not having so many things you know. No. Some people know little about everything and not much about anything. So as soon as the doctor said that, I just went back to what I had known before. Because I wasn't slacking in my study. And I said, give me 2 weeks, I'll be back. Because I went back weeks afterwards, feeding on the word of God. At that point, you know, you need to know how to take out things. There are thorns. There are people that are not growing. Not because they are not in a good church or a good pastor. Look at Judas. Judas had a good pastor, right? But it turned out bad. Who could have pastored better than Jesus? He got to a point, he even started to have bitterness towards Jesus. Because he felt, why would they celebrate him this way? Under Jesus' ministry, he was stealing offering. The guy bowed. You know? So you can have all that information. You can have all the Holy Ghost. But if all the tongues and thistles are still there, look at it. How many hours do you spend in church? Then during the day, you spend 1 hour in the Word. But with the world, the rest of the day, information coming in right, center, left. Then you have television. I was telling them in a meeting just a few days ago. When we were younger, you had to go to the video club to get video. Now you don't need video club. Just your phone. Even if it's chinko. Imagine that. You now have access to the whole world. You don't have to travel anywhere. People now have phone sex. They stream sex online. They teach you how to dupe people online. There's nothing you cannot get. You don't have to go to any country to get their culture. Just watch them. So as you are hearing the word of God, maybe the whole week, 5 hours, you have another 100 hours. You are being fed. People around you at your office, sometimes even in your home. That's why you should marry right. You go and marry one half-caste Christian. He's half-caste. Father, Christ Jesus. Mother, the devil. So they are sharing the inheritance. Yes, this is not church. Don't bring church here. Enough, please. Whoa! Whiskey. Mend them. That's the point. Thorns. You now see that you are not fruitful. Because they are thorns. And Royal Talks will say, plus 10, minus 80. I'll close here. So look at your Christian walk. Why are you not bearing fruit? You are in a church where the word of God is taught. Am I correct? And deliberately we don't give room for any other thing. We have the capacity. There are things we can also do to keep you excited. Can bring in comedians here. So that you will not be bored. You can ask some people to come and do something. You can just spice up the atmosphere. So that you will not be bored. But no, that cannot make you grow. It's only the word of God that can make you grow. So make a decision today. Continue this. Definitely. To feed on the word of God. When Paul says, you are yet carnal and act as mere men. He said, I have fed you with milk. Which means spiritual growth is a function of diet. And not of strong meat. Go beyond someone that likes salmons. Are you here? I like that salmon. Wow, what a salmon. When you are still liking salmon, you are still a babe. Start to feed on the ones that are comfortable, the ones that are not comfortable. Many times, and I'm closing on this one, what makes you grow are things that are not comfortable. Not comfortable. Someone told me this one 2 years ago. And he said, I learned in your church. Listen very well, though. That sometimes you close the door. People are getting late. He said, why? I said, it's to teach people reverence for the things of God. He said, ah, man of God, I understand you. But the real people that will bring money to church, they normally come late. It's not that. I said, I don't have them here. Praise the Lord. We don't raise people to bring money to church. Right? Do you like a finance house here? Of course, he's not my friend. No, I don't have people like that around me. It's time to grow. Tell some people, it's time to grow. And walk in the Spirit. Because you are born of the Spirit of God. Stand to your feet, lift your hands, and bless the Lord. Why not take 1 minute or two and just rededicate yourself to growing in the Word? I'm in fellowship with the Father.